There are pew Bibles, and if you want to follow along, it's on page 1 in your pew Bible, so it's not difficult to find. The reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Here ends the reading of the scripture. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Marcia, thank you for reading for us this morning. Joe, thank you for playing for us this morning as we entered in. The scripture reading that Judy, did I say Marcia twice? Judy, thank you. Your name's not Marcia, your name is Judy. Always has been. Never been Marcia, her name is Judy. The scripture reading that Judy just read for us there out of Genesis 1:1 is probably one of the more familiar scriptures in the Bible. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. And God said, "Let there be light. Let there be light." And the light shined in the darkness. And he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. We have an infatuation with origin stories. We have an infatuation with origin stories. Let me give you an example. Whether you do it well in your Marvel, or you do it not so well in your DC, we have an infatuation with origin stories. We have an infatuation with origin stories. So much so that we always like to have an idea or get an idea of how something began, because we feel like unless we know how something began, can we turn off the pulpit mic here? I'm just getting some feedback. We like to know, or we like to have an idea of how things began, because it allows us to have context into the story. It gives us context for story. Without having an origin story, we feel like we're dropped into the middle of it, not knowing what happened before us or even what's going to happen after us. Star Wars is a good example for this, right? When Steven Spielberg was first doing Star Wars, he started with 4, 5, and 6, right? And all of a sudden, Luke shows up on this planet, and there's 2 suns and a few moons, and we don't know exactly what's going on, or how we got there. We like origin stories. We like to know where we came from, or where someone came from, and why they are there. Why they're there. I would argue that the reason why we like origin stories is because we are in the midst of the most incredible cosmic story that you can ever imagine. And we are not at the beginning, and we are not at the end. Guess where we are? We are right in the middle. We are right in the middle. And so the desire of mankind has been to reach back to try to find the origin of all things, to try and stipulate the origin of all things, to try to come up with an idea of how did this all begin. We feel lost, disconnected, without an origin story. We like to know where we came from. Knowing where we came from gives us proper context into where we are now. Knowing where we came from gives us proper context to why we are here now. knowing where we came from gives us proper context as to the purpose of why we are here. We love origin stories. If you would like to, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to John 1. John 1. John recognizes the importance of origin stories. But he ultimately recognizes the purpose and the importance of the ultimate origin story. The origin story that begins not with us, but actually begins with God. And until we understand the origin story of where things begin and that it begins with God, we will be dislocated from our own purpose, our own story, and how we fit into that story. John writes in John 1, 1 through 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Let's pray. Father, we ask that in these few moments that we are together, that Your Word would go out. Lord, that You alone would stir up hearts, that You would till up hearts, that You would prepare the soil of people's hearts to hear the Word implanted by which Your Son Jesus grants eternal life. Life in Him, life in You, life with You, Father, life with Him through Your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that as Your Word proceeds, that Your Son Jesus, Your Holy Spirit, would stand up in this room, begin to walk around and change the hearts, woo the hearts, impact all of our hearts. May our affections be stirred and drawn to You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. As John begins his gospel, he begins his gospel with these three words, "in the beginning." In the beginning. What John is about to talk to us about here is what was happening at the beginning. What is the origin story of all humanity? And he begins to unfold what's happening in the beginning, and he's going to show us two things. Number one, he's going to show us that the origin of all things begins with the Son having life. That the Son of the Father having life. The first thing we're going to look at, we're going to see that verses 1 and 2. But also, John begins to unfold this, and it's not just that the Son has life, it's that the Son, in verses 3 through 5, is sharing His life. And for what it means for us to understand our origin, what it means for us to understand who we are and where we came from, we do not begin with ourselves, because as that story goes out from ourselves, it can only return to ourselves. It's a cul-de-sac, so to speak. It's a dead end. We don't have the answer. And so we have to look elsewhere for the answer to the question, where did we begin? John says in John 1, verses 1 and 2, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Do you notice here that as John begins to speak about the beginning, He doesn't begin with humanity. He doesn't begin with mankind. He doesn't begin with Adam and Eve, as it were. He doesn't begin with creation. He doesn't begin with something that's physical or tangible or something you can see. He begins before that. Our minds struggle to even reach back to the beginning because we begin to ask, what was before the beginning? What began before the beginning? And our minds crash upon themselves. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He said, "The place where the Bible begins is one where our most impassioned waves of thinking break, are thrown back upon themselves, and lose their strength in spray and foam. The first word of the Bible is hardly for a moment surfaced before us, before the waves frantically rush upon us again and cover us in wreaths of foam." When John says, "In the beginning," he recognizes that he is reaching beyond something that we as human beings have the authority to say anything about. In the beginning. What does John say? John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Who is this Word? Who is this Word that was with God? How is it that anything can be with God before the beginning or in the beginning? Before anything was created, you had God, and you had God who had His Word with Him before anything was created. In the beginning, you had God, and you had His Word. And that Word was with God. The idea of being with God is not just to be with Him in close proximity, not just to be with Him in location, not to be even with Him in merely association. It's to be with Him as He stands face to face in intimate relationship. This one who is the Word was the one who stood with God, the Father, and looked Him in the eye as one who is equal with Him. In the beginning, before anything else, our minds break there. We can't say anything about what happens before the beginning. John is saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And He says this, "And the Word was God." In the Greek here, this is the most concise way that John could ever say that this one who is the Word is of the same nature as the one we call God, yet distinct in person. In other words, you have the one who is God, known as the Father in Scripture, and He is the one who stands at the beginning. And yet He also has one who stands with Him, His Word, who is also with Him, facing Him as one who is equal, having conversation with Him as one who would as well be involved in creation as an equal. And He's with Him in an intimate way that only the Father and His Word can share. How can anybody say they have intimacy with God in a perfect way unless that one is also God? We used to have a dog. Her name was Wrigley. She was a Great Dane. She was incredible. She was awesome. We loved her. She loved us. She loved us, I think, more than we loved her, as dogs do. We had some form of intimacy with her, right? Have you guys ever had an animal, owned an animal? There's intimacy there, right? Is there a difference in the level of intimacy that happens between you and an animal, for example, versus the intimacy that happens or should happen between a father and a son, or a daughter and a mother, or a father and a daughter, or a mother and a son? There's a different kind of intimacy that happens there that's according to the kind of being you're dealing with. And it says here that in the beginning was the Word. This one who is called the Word, who is with God. Who is with God. In complete fellowship, unhindered intimacy, and this all happens in the beginning, before anything is made. It says, He was in the beginning with God. What this means is that this one who is called the Word is not dependent upon anything else for life. Is not dependent on anything else for life. Did you know that you're dependent on someone for life? Did you know that life does not properly belong to you? Life is not something that properly belongs to you. You were donated life. You were given life. You did not self-exist in and of yourself, by yourself, apart from anyone else. You were given life. And yet John here speaks of this Word who is with God the Father, who Himself is life, not created, but with the Father for all eternity before the beginning. And in the beginning, there are these who are standing together who are ready to create. This relationship, as we read further in John, is this relationship between the Father and the Son through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit begin to create, it is an overflow of compassion and love and mercy and kindness that overflows out of the very nature of who they are. And so when God creates Adam and Eve, He takes Adam, He takes Eve, He sets them in the garden, He says, I love you and I have given you my life. This is for you. I am for you. It's that kind of God who's in the beginning. It's the kind of God, don't worry about the floor. It's the kind of God who says, I'm going to step forward into creation for the purpose of sharing my love and life with them. And the only reason why that happens is because you have a Father and a Son through the Holy Spirit who've been loving each other for all eternity. They haven't been alone. They haven't been secluded. They haven't been by themselves. For them then to turn to creation and love creation is a natural overflow of who they are. As the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father through the Holy Spirit, and they pour out and share that love into creation. And John says, that is the beginning. That's the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The reason why John uses the word Word here is because in God's economy, someone's word is the very overflow of their heart. So this one who is with the Father, who is called the Word, is the very heart of the Father, is the very expression of the Father, is the exact representation of who the Father is the exact one who can say, I know the mind of my Father and I represent the mind of my Father. I am the Word of the Father. I am the overflowing love and compassion of the Father to the world. He is the Word of the Father. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And out of the overflow of the Father's heart, you have this one who is the Word, who represents the Father in love toward humanity. They stand together at the beginning. And this one who stands with the Father has life in himself. He is God by nature. He is the one who is divine just as the Father is divine. They stand together at the beginning. And they say, let there be light. Let there be light. John also is not just explaining the idea that the Son has life in verses 1 and 2, but as God has life in himself, as the Father has life in himself, as the Son has life in himself to give, it's only natural then, as the God who is love, that he would then pour that life out into creation. And so God begins to share his life with his creation. And so we see that in verses 3 through 5. And so John says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. As the Father and the Son stand at the brink of creation, the Father looks at the Son looks at the Father. They have agreed that they are going to create, and in creating, all of their love, all of their patience, all of their compassion, all of their kindness is going to be poured into the earth as they begin the movement to create. One thing that's important to recognize here is that the creation didn't exist yet. The creation didn't exist. What that means is that the creation could do nothing to force God to the issue. Creation could do nothing to obligate God to create creation. Just like for those of us who are women in the building, who've had babies, that baby did not in any way earn being made, correct? That baby did not earn it. God steps into and toward creation as he begins to create things, not because creation has earned it, not because creation had to do something in order to get it. Not because creation had to do something in order to somehow leverage God into creating. God, in a free act of love and generosity and kindness, says, let there be light. He's outward moving. He's not self-centered. He's other-centered. He's not self-seeking, he's other-seeking. He's not constrained to himself, curved in on himself. He's actually the kind of God who's moving outward toward creation in love. John says, all things were made through him, and without him, this word that he speaks of, without him was not anything made that was made. And he says this in verse 4, in him was life. In him was life. Life exists properly in no other but God himself. We are all borrowers of life. This is not our life. We are not the origin of ourselves. We are not the beginning of ourselves. We are not the acting principle of ourselves. We are the effect of someone else who gives us life. And so John says, in him was life. In him was life. I mentioned this earlier. What this means is that you cannot earn life. Have you ever stood under the sun? Or take, for example, the trees. As they stand under the sun, they receive the rays of sunshine. They receive the warmth of the sun. It takes 8 minutes for the rays of the sun to reach the earth. As it travels billions of miles to reach the earth, it takes 8 minutes for that light to hit the earth, and the trees soak in that sun, and through that sunlight, they begin to grow and they begin to develop and they begin to thrive and they begin to have life and they begin to bear fruit and they begin to beautify in the light of the sun. But at no point in time do they stare back up at the sun and they say, what can I do to earn this? At no point in time do they stare back up at the sun and say, what can I do to earn this? It's categorically impossible. The one who gives you life is the one who shines upon you, is the one who loves you, is the one who cares for you, is the one who gave his life for you, is the one who gave you everything to enjoy. The one who gives you life, that you might thrive, that you might grow, that you might find him to be good, that you might understand his loving kindness, that one who gives you life does not give you life so that you might turn around and say, what do I have to do to earn this? No, it's a free expression of his love. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What John is saying here is that the true life of men is only realized when men realize how they get their life from the one who gives them life. They will not realize what it means to have life in themselves through him until they recognize the one who gives them life. And for the rest of John, what John is about to explain to us is this Word who is the Father is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, who came down for us, because in creation, when he made humanity in response to him creating them out of love and kindness and goodness, humanity curved away from God and said, I don't want anything to do with what you have to offer me. And when humanity curved away from God, humanity died. That's why God says that light shines in the midst of darkness. The Bible describes death as darkness. The Bible describes death as being separated from God in the midst of darkness, needing light once again to burst forth into their souls. Humanity needed a Savior. And the one who created, the one who is light, the one who is life, who created in the first place, is the only one who could be the Savior of that humanity. There is no other Savior but the one who created and gave life in the first place. But in order for Him to be light and life for humanity, He would then have to become human. In order for Him to save humanity, the one who is light, the one who is life, the one who gives life, would have to become human on their behalf to give them life. And so He would live on this earth as truly human, but also divine. He would live on this earth as truly human, but also divine. And He would walk this earth and He would pour out the love of God before Him. He would pour out the love of God to those who were around Him. But ultimately, He would be despised and rejected, and He would go to a Roman cross and He would die. According to the plan of God. And as He died according to the plan of God, all of our rejection, all of our brokenness, all of our corruption, everything that belonged to us, the death that we brought into this world, He took upon Himself as the one who is life and light. And He swallowed up the darkness and for 3 days was buried. And then the Father rose Him again to put on display that this is the Savior of the world. He is the light of the world. He is life. He is the one who shines in the midst of darkness, and He alone is life for mankind. He gave His life for you. Why? Because the very same one who stood forth in creation and poured out His life and love into creation was the very same one who said, I will not abandon the ones whom I love. I will go so far as to step down into creation and to become one of them, to die for them, to give my life for them, that they may have life. That they may have life. So where do we begin? What's our origin story? Our origin story is that we begin where God says, in the beginning. We begin with the one who gave us life. We begin with the one who gave us joy and hope, with the one who poured out His love toward us. We begin with the one who gave His life for us even when we rejected Him. We begin with the one, the only one, who was in the beginning. That's where we begin. And for us to understand what it means to be human, for us to understand what it means for God to be God, for us to understand what it means for God to love us, we look no further than the one who was in the beginning. And that is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. He is the one who gave life to you. He is also the one who gave His life for you, that He might break the darkness of sin and death and pour out light into all creation once again. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your kindness. We thank You, Father, that You are the one who sent Your Son into this world to become human for us. That this same Son, this very heart of Yours, the one who You love for eternity past, this very one who created with You is the one who became part of creation for us, because when we sinned, when we turn our back on you, when we rejected you, he became human for us, that we might be united to you and have the light of life being united to you. Father, help us to understand and recognize the depth of your love and your compassion for us through your Son, Jesus. Father, we pray that he would shine brightly in our hearts and that we would recognize through your Holy Spirit your wonder and your majesty. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.